Welcome to A Lunch with Biggie, a podcast about small business and creatives sharing their stories and inspiring you. My guest today is the co-founder of the premier art and design event in the Southeast. It's where you're hugging necks, breaking bread, and you come in as friends but leave as family. Please welcome the force behind Creative South, Mike Jones. What's going on, buddy?
Let's go. Let's eat. What's up, man?
What's happening, man?
Not much. Thanks, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. Thank you so much for spending a lunch break with me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Obviously, my first question always is, what's your go-to lunch or sandwich?
Oh, bro, you cannot ask a big fella what his go-to is. That is, there's so many. That's more of like, what am I not gonna go to?
Well, I mean, okay, like, let's go with like a today, Like, what did you have? Is there a go-to? What was a go-to lunch for today?
Barbecue. Without fail. That's easy. It's either going to be barbecue or tacos, usually.
When you say barbecue, can you elaborate? Because there's a lot of levels of barbecue. Well,
If I lived in Texas, it'd be brisket, no, hands down. But I don't. I live in Georgia, so it's pork sandwich.
Pulled pork?
Yeah. Okay. Just simple hot sauce, pickles, salt, you know, nothing to it.
And then, like the slaw? Do you like a sweet slaw?
I like barbecue slaw.
Okay.
It's like if you took slaw and you just put barbecue sauce in it, but it's like a more mustardy based. I don't know. Barbecue here is about all the same, honestly. But if I had my way, a brisket sandwich from Texas would be the way to go. But yeah, man, there's so many good sandwiches. I don't know. Probably okay. Barbecue.
There's never a wrong answer with that.
No doubt.
Okay, so I brought up Creative South. Can you tell people a little bit about what it is? Then I'll kind of have some follow-up questions after that.
Sure. For folks that haven't been to Creative South, it's a 2-3-4-day event. It depends on what we're doing, but usually it's like a 3-day event in the South in the spring, in my hometown of Columbus, Georgia. And I bring speakers and workshop presenters and attendees from all over the world to come here for like talks and workshops and fellowship for a couple of days. That's the quick gist of it. Yeah.
Yes.
Try to tell people, like, I kind of equate it to this. If you've never been, it's like you're going to come home to grandma's house for Sunday supper, and she's going to come outside, hug your neck, pray over you, and you're going to eat lunch with like 600 to 800 of your favorite cousins for a couple of days. It's like that. So that's kind of the vibe of it. I don't know if that helps put it in a picture.
I think it does. And I'll kind of add, like, this is a good kind of spot for me to be able to tell, like, that's actually how I met. Like, I found out, you know, about Creative South. I know there's a huge influx of Orlando people that go to Creative South.
Oh, yeah.
But I found out about it because of my friend Will Truen. And he and I, that's actually how when we met. Like, I actually met him on Twitter. We met on Twitter, and I used to jokingly told people, and we still joke about this because we've been friends since then. We've been, you know, he actually flew in from up north, flew into Orlando, got in a car, stayed in my house. We've never met each other. We met each other on Twitter, stayed at my house. And then from there, we got in a car and we drove to Creative South. And I literally everybody, I'm like, this is the handle. If I'm dead, this is the person who killed me, is what I told everybody.
That's so messed up. You know the guy. That's so messed up.
Well, I knew him, dude. But I didn't. You know, I'm like, it was the first time ever in my house or anything. But the interesting part was, and that was the thing that I loved about with Will, was Will was like, dude, he's like, you're going to understand. You're going to love it. And I kept telling Will, I'm like, Will, I'm not a designer. I'm like, I don't, and I will tell you that, like, that was like the one thing. I mean, I've been to Creative South more than once. I've been there twice.
Yeah.
I kind of do it every few years. I kind of go and do it just because it interferes with like spring break. And then it's like a few weeks later, then it becomes that. It just becomes really hard to balance. But the one thing that I loved about it is like, you do come out leaving. Like, I met all these different people that I'm still friends with.
Nice.
The fact that, you know, it's like that, you get a creative like juice or burst.
Oh yeah,
that you know, that comes because you're dealing with all these creative people, and I think to me that was one of the big things that I love about it. How did you come up? Like, what inspired it to come? And like, how did you come up with the idea to do Creative South?
Oh man, there were so many things going on at that time in my life, but I was going, I had been going to Adobe Max for years. I think I have been 9 times total. And I was, had just gotten back from Max, and I had, was trying to plan for my next conference that I was going to go to. And I love Max. I love Adobe, you know, it's all great stuff that they're doing. It's just a, like, if you've ever been, it's a huge 15,000, 18,000 person event. Like, it's a giant event that a lot of people are there. And so, yeah, and that's great, and it has its purpose. But I found it in making lasting connections, it was kind of, I made some connections, but not that were like on a deep, deep, deep level. There's a few people, but not a lot. And so I came back and I was looking for other events to go to. And I came across one called Weapons of Mass Creation Fest, which was WMC Fest. And if you know, you know, it's not around anymore. It was a great event that was probably started probably two years before I started mine. And it was out of Cleveland, Ohio, and it was 20 speakers, 20 designers in an art show, and like 40 punk bands over one weekend. And it was just, I got up there and I went to it, and it was one of those things where I was like, man, this is the vibe. This is what I'm looking for. This is more of a community, like a smaller community, more intimate setting, more FaceTime with a lot of other people. And so I came back and I was like, what's stopping me from doing this in my own hometown? Nothing. So I called a buddy up. I was like, hey, you want to help out? And we were like, cool, let's do it. And so from that day, we planned it out, which felt like an eternity. And then we had a half a day event, which felt like another eternity. And 45 people showed up to it. And I remember just when that happened, we had limited swag. We had no budget. I had two speakers, Jeff Finley, who started Weapons of Mass Creation Fest, and Von Glitzko were my first two speakers ever. And Von was actually my very first speaker ever that I ever, you know, the first one that went on. And long story short, when we hit 45 people, we were just like, we thought we were somebody. We like, we did this thing, you know, we're so excited. But I remember how much time it took away from family and everything else. Well, now, you know, fast forward to pre-COVID, it ended up, we were in the 800 to 1,000 range. There's 4 days long. It's, you know, it grew in staff size and everything else. And it's a lot of fun. It brings a lot of people together. But, you know, when we celebrated our 10th year a couple years ago, Vaughn and his daughter came back and spoke. And what's crazy about that is his daughter was 14 when we started, and now she's 24 and works with her dad as a designer. And it's like full circle. It was fun to see it go full circle. Just like when I started, Carson, my youngest son, was, you know, a baby. And now he's 13. So it's crazy to see like how it just goes full circle. But yeah, that's kind of how it went. That's kind of how it came about, you know, because of that event, Weapons of Mass Creation Fest. And there was another event, this guy up in Montreal was doing this thing called Montreal Meets. And that was intriguing to me too. It was like, oh, cool, you're getting these people together and having this small kind of vibe. And It was neat to see that it could be done on a smaller scale and still have this intimacy and this family vibe and this, I don't know, like this community feel where you're getting a lot more FaceTime. And I think that's important for us as humans. We need to sit down. We need to see each other face to face. I mean, we do this kind of stuff like me and you were doing right now.
Yeah.
FaceTime, it's every day. Every day you're on a call, you're on a meeting, you're something with somebody somewhere. And that's great to be able to work like that. But we need more than that. We need way more than that as humans. We need actual sit down face to face conversations. And I said, let's do that. And so we're trying to foster that as a big, one of our biggest, I don't know, mantras, I guess, is, you know, hugging necks, breaking bread, and building relationships. And I find it that you can change somebody's day in an instant with a hug, and you can get to know somebody much better over a meal than any other way. So if you're all at this event, you're doing, and you're going to eat with people, and you're just connecting on a deeper level. And that's the kind of people that I want to do life with. And those people that I'm doing life with are the people that I want to do business with. Does that make sense?
No, man. It totally does.
So that's kind of how it came about. And that's the quick and dirty up.
Do you know that you need supposedly to keep you? I have to confirm this, but I think I read something because you need at least 4 hugs in a course of a day to keep you normal, but in order to like to thrive and grow, you need at least 8 hugs a day, which is kind of crazy to think about. And obviously, there's lots of hugs going on when you are at Creative South.
Lots.
I'm always kind of curious. Well, yeah, because you're constantly seeing people, and as you see them, you like meet them, and then you hug them, and you know. So I've always been kind of curious. Like, how do you come up with? Because the interesting part is you guys have different themes every year.
Yeah.
And obviously, I know you have a team now of people that can help with that. But where do you come up with all the different themes that that you guys have come up with? Because you've done a full on anything from like video games to, you know, kind of like a family reunion style to, you know, camping, you know, so you, and like, will, you know, Willy Wonka, you know, type of stuff. Like, where do you come up with these ideas from?
Honestly, it's just us sitting around with myself and Peter and Andrew, and we're just sitting around and just spitball, like, you know, what could it be this year? That's how we're doing it now. The first 10 years, it was like, okay, here's the space I've got. I want it to stay small town themed. How many different things can I pull out of a small town? Okay, arcade, campground, you know, what else? Like gas station. Like there was all these different things that could make it like for a small town vibe, right? So it's like, okay, late night talk show is this year, because it was like, let's just try something different. It's a different venue and we'll try something different. And then, you know, moving forward, we're always looking for different things that could be just fun for the attendees. And so like, I'd love to figure out, like, I think like 80s TV would be fun. You know, like to do not an 80s theme, not an 80s theme. That's different, but like TV. 80s sitcom. What does 80s sitcom look like on a stage as an intro, as a bit? Like, that's kind of where my mind's taking me, is like all the things you would see to make you feel like you're part of an 80s sitcom could be fun.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, a diner. We haven't done like a Waffle House. We need to do a Waffle House. Like, let's do a late night diner kind of vibe and like build that set and have it like, have Andrew be the short order cook and like have guests sit at the counter. Like, there's a lot of things we can do to have some fun with it. That's where I'm always trying to take it. It's like, how can I keep the small town vibe and utilize the space that I have the best way I can with the set builder that I have, because now that we're not in the theater and we're just in the Trade Center.
Yep.
It's still a very historical space, very cool looking building. We're in the original part of the entire building, which is nice. It has a lot of character, but it's very tall and very open in some parts, and it's just different than being in a historic theater. So, you know, you just try to utilize the best you can, but that's how I come up with them, just trying to keep it small town. So if you have suggestions, please submit them.
I definitely will. When I've always been intrigued by when you came up with the idea, and obviously the city of Columbus, Georgia gets involved quite a bit, and like, were they kind of, when the first time, obviously you're like, hey, you know, you had two speakers, 45 guests, but now you're like you're bringing in people. Like, people are like literally coming in, because you're, Columbus, Georgia is like what, like an hour and a half, 2 hours from Atlanta.
Yep.
People are coming in, and you have like, you know, like you're bringing out tons of people, a lot of money, some money's coming in, attention, like, you know, towards the community. Like, how does Columbus, Georgia like react to you kind of giving that? Because that's kind of what it is. It's one of those where you're like, hey, I love where I live. I want people to see, you know, you got a level of pride to that, and you want people to see it. And to me, it's amazing when I talk to people and they're like, yeah, I'm going to Columbus, Georgia. I was like, you have? I'm like, oh my gosh, did you have barbecue at this place? Did you have the chicken biscuit at this place? And it's like cool to see people that are like, you know, going there, because I'm like, you know, there's so many other small towns, but here you are giving all this attention to it. Like, how are they reacting to that?
They love it. They love it. Yeah. They're cool with, like, you know, just, they're already on the map, but it's just such a, we're in a weird spot on the interstate, because it doesn't really go anywhere except the base. Like, the road is built to go to the base. And so we're kind of there, and yeah, they appreciate me bringing folks to town and are gracious to all the guests, and I love having them visit all the stores and restaurants and whatnot, and glad to have it here.
Yeah. No. Okay. I like that. So how long does it usually take you to plan one of these conferences?
We start planning in August.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, it is what it is. Everybody's, if we don't, we never get it finished, because,
yeah,
excuse me, because everybody's busy, man. I say that with all due respect, because all of our lives have changed from when this started, right? When it started, it was just two of us. with small kids, like very small kids, with nothing else going on. And then you fast forward to you know, we're 14 years later on our 12th event. Everybody's got kids. My kids are almost grown. Like other people's kids are just getting to the point where they're starting to do big family things, and spring break's an issue. And like people aren't coming back sometimes because they have kids. Like it's just different. It's different. So it's like, yeah. How do we adapt because of that? And taking time to plan from August to now allows for like, not, I only do it on Fridays. Every Friday is when I work on Creator South. And so, hey, yo, where I work gives me the opportunity to do that on Fridays, which is very nice and gracious. And, you know, spending it every Friday, we'll have like a 3-day weekend of planning. And then every Friday from here until April, I'm in the mix. And it's whether it's running errands, making calls, booking this, booking that, paying bills, whatever it is. There's a lot of things. Like I'm looking, like my list is literally next to our window right now. And I'm going, oh my gosh, I haven't done any. I've got 15 things that are undone that haven't been done yet. And it's, I'm, you know, like 40 days out. So there's a lot to it, but that's part of it. That part of the working part makes it all worthwhile when everybody's here and you get to see the connections being made and you get to see the relationships being made and you get to have the laughs and make the stupid memories yourself. Like, cause I have so many fun things that have happened to me or stories I've heard or laughs I've had or just moments that I will carry with me for a lifetime. And especially people, right? There's certain people in my life now that weren't there 14 years ago that are in my inner circle. And I count them as like family, like blood family, you know, and they came out of this event. And that's the kind of relationships I'm seeing built, right? People will make those connections. Next thing you know, you're the best man at somebody's wedding. Their kids being named after you. You started a company together. Like I've seen all those things. And there's so many, like people came down here. There was one couple came down here, met, got married from meeting at Creator South. That blows my mind. Awesome. Yeah. So it's that. So that's why we start so early.
Is that also, do you think those are some of the things that also inspire you? Like those stories, the relationships, that's kind of what fuels you to kind of keep doing this conference?
Oh, most definitely, man. That's the whole point of the conference in the first place, is to bring people together. So for me, that's the number one, is to bring folks together, and it keeps me motivated to keep doing it. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to do it forever. I'm going to do it as long as God lets me, and then when it's time for me to pass it to the next person, then it'll get it passed to the next person appropriately. But for now, you know, I just turned 46, so, and I still have all my hair, so I'm going to keep on rocking and doing it as best I can until he says otherwise.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah, man.
You know, obviously, like the other part of it is, like you said, you work for Heyo, like you're a great designer. You love, like, you know, doing branding, you know, illustration, lettering, sketching. You know, I always love, like, I know the hat that you're wearing right now is one of your creations. Mm-hmm. I'm always kind of curious when during your creative process, like how do you exercise or harness that creativity? And what do you do when, like, you're in a rut?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I mean, I harness the creativity every day for like my day job and then for freelance and for pretty much whatever else I got going on that's design related. But when I get in a rut, I do a couple of things. One, I leave my desk. Got to get up. You got to get out. You got to go for a walk. Get out in nature. Clear your mind. Whatever it takes, right? Take a break. Work on something else. Go to the sites you go read blogs on, go to your inspirational places, your Pinterest, your, I don't know, whatever, your Dribbble, all the places, and just start digging in. Go look at what the people you admire most in design. What are they doing? Like, right. There's folks that I love that I just like, I follow their stuff. Cause every day it's like, oh man, it's so good. You know? And I think to myself like, all right, cool. Like I'm motivated. Let's go, you know? Or go to brands that you follow and see what they got going on. But like, usually it's, I'll swap gears to something else. Maybe I'll just take out my iPad and sketch just random, whatever. Like I'll just doodle for a minute. Like I'll put a show on in the background and I'll just draw for a little bit, kind of just refocus. Or I'll, call some of my other designer buddies up and go, hey man, you know, that's another good resource from from Creative South is you got all these folks you can call on now. And it's like, look, I'm stuck. Does anything come to mind when I say, I don't tell them about the project. There's not like a whole lot of share, but I've tried to do a minimal share. I'm like, okay, if I say these words to you, what nouns come to mind? Like what visually, like physical objects come into your mind, ready, go. And they just have them spout off stuff. I'm like, cool, thank you. And then I'll call the next one. Hey, here's what I got going on. I'm stuck. What comes to mind when you hear this phrase or whatever? And just see if there's something that sparks something to me where I'm like, oh, I didn't even think about that. Just gonna write it down. And then I go back to the drawing board. And that's kind of how I defeat times when I'm just in a rut or stuck. I call on other resources and go look at other things.
I love that. The hard part for some of the things that you said, there are some things that I thought of when you were talking. One was like, I sometimes feel like if I go that route and I go going for a walk, I love that idea because I do that. I sometimes will even try to do it with no music, so that way I'm like stuck in my brain.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Because sometimes you're kind of not being distracted. I sometimes try to do the thing of going on my phone and looking at other things. The problem is then you then get lost into like the black hole of the phone or like the internet or whatever. And then the other one that I always kind of sometimes is difficult, and I could only imagine for like designers and creatives, when you start looking at other people that you inspire you, but then make you feel like crap because you don't feel like you're that at that level. You know what I mean? Like you're that always, not at that level.
Always.
Or you judge yourself and you're like, well, what? Now I'm even more in a funk because now I'm just sad at the same time. You know what I mean?
There's times when I look at it like that and then I snap out of it real quick and realize like, you know what? I'm just going to own like my skill set. Here's what I'm good at. Yeah. I'm not those people. I don't do that kind of work. But if I want to get better at it, I just need to practice at it more, right? Like I need to do more builds of this or do more builds of that or showcase this kind of work or practice this much more. Because if you're just looking and you're not trying to do anything about it to get better, then that's on you, right? Like don't whine about it if you're not doing anything to fix it, you know? So
yeah,
yes, I feel like that sometimes. Yes, I'm like, oh man. Like I was at a student thing the other day where I was at a show and I hung a show at this college, and one of the seniors, we were doing a portfolio review, and which I enjoyed so much. I haven't done one of those in years. And I'm sitting down with all these college kids, and they have their work on the board, and they're all critiquing each other with the professor. And then I got to jump in and talk through some things too, which was a lot of fun. And then this one senior kid who was helping me out and was really into like everything I was talking about came up and like opened his iPad and was like, hey, let me show you some stuff I've been working on. And I'm just like, what am I doing? This kid can draw circles around me. Like, I'm talking about like next level illustration work. Like, hey, Lincoln, you want a guy? There's your guy. Hire that guy. But it was next level. And I had to take a step back as a 22-year or 23-year veteran and go, wow, that's amazing. And also, I know that I'm not that good at it, like what he was doing. Could I be? Yeah, if I drew, like if I practiced more and I had more time. The difference is I have 4 kids, a wife, you know, a foundation, a conference, a day job, a dog, this, blah, 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 blah. College kid. You know what I'm saying? The time to put into it, he's at the point where he can put a ton of time into it and get and really hone those skills. Whereas like I've got to find those extra 2 hours every day to do what I need to do extra, which is there is time in the day. I say that to everybody. You think you don't have time. You have time. I have time. It's just, what am I going to give up in place, or what do I got to rearrange to make that time available to me? Unlike a student where they have a lot more time to hone that skill at that level at that time. And it was just impressive to see his skill set. He's going to be at Creative South, fingers crossed. And I hope everybody gets to meet him. I want to introduce him to Dan at Lincoln and say, hey, I know you're looking. Here is a guy who can draw, let me tell you. But there's so many people like that whose work I'm just amazed by, and I'm just like, wow, you know, good for you. You inspire me, and I will tell you, you inspire me. And I hope that my work inspires people and that I can do that someday. And so, yeah, we all have that thought run through our head now and again.
No, I for sure. You brought up a topic that I wanted to hit, and that obviously married married, four kids, everything else. How do you find, how do you balance it all? Because you said it, like, you got to be able to make those sacrifices, but then at the same, like, in order to be able to find the time to do those things, how do you do it? Is it, you know, because I know for me, it's like, it's definitely a game of sometimes I'm really good and I could be good at it for a bit. And then sometimes some sacrifices have to obviously come as importance of certain things, but, and it gets a little harder to balance sometimes.
100% it does. I think there's a couple of things for myself personally. One, three of my kids are grown. They're like, I got one as a freshman in college, two are out on their own already, and I got one still at home. So that has freed up some time. Two, hire people or bring in people that are better than you, that do things better than you, that you don't have to babysit, that you can just say, hey, I need this handled. And they're, you know, and trust them to go handle it as a grown person. That's key. You got to hire people who do things better than you. And two, or bring them into your organization. And then lastly, I would say, you know, when it's finding time and finding something you got to sacrifice, don't do what I do. Mine has always been sleep. I've sacrificed sleep for 30 years to do stuff I wanted to get done, which there's no reason for you to grind all night long. Like my schedule has been 6 a.m. to 3 a.m., you know, for years and years, and then a naps in between when I can hit a nap at lunch, hit a nap at 5 for an hour or two until I get my 6 hours of sleep in. It's not good for your health. It's not good for your sanity. You know, find other ways to find time to do stuff. Like if you're staying up stupid late at night, try going to bed at 10, getting up at 4. Or getting up at 5 a.m. and spend a couple of hours before work doing something you love doing, or going to the gym or whatever it is. There's little hours here and there, you know, like my lunch hour. If I'm not doing something for Creative South, I'm going to hit a quick nap as fast as I can. That's my power nap. I'm going to eat a sandwich, 30 minutes, whatever. I'm refreshed. I'm back. 5 o'clock hits. Nobody's at the house yet. 5 to 6, 6:30, another power nap. Again, don't do that. Like if you slept normal hours, you wouldn't have to do that. So like the goal for the rest of the year is for me to try to go to bed at 10, get up at 5 and do gym. And then whatever else I need to do before I clock in at the job, you know, not clock in, but you know, start my day. That's the kind of the best advice I can give you is you'll find the time. Maybe you're playing video games from 6 to 9 o'clock at night every night. Well, there's 3 hours you could free up real easy. If you do that once a week, then you've got tons of hours the rest of the week to do something. There is time there. I'm just saying that's what I mean.
So you actually still,
yes, go, I play video games.
You still go to bed at like 3 o'clock in the morning?
Not every, no. It's probably, I was for the longest time. I think now I try to hit the sack about midnight, one's pushing it. Yeah.
Wow.
And then I go to the gym at 5:45. When I get to the gym, I go at 5:45 and then I get back at 6:30 and then I sleep a little bit until I got to get up, and go to work.
That's insane. If I told you what time I go to bed, you'd laugh at me.
You're one of those 9:30 folks.
I used to not be, but I'm going to, sleep, I realized I did learn in COVID that sleep was important. And
it is,
I would,
important.
I literally now what I started doing is I started taking magnesium.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
And
yep.
I go,
so people with a restless leg love that and it helps them tremendously. So the goal is for me to do 10 o'clock is what I want to start doing.
That's kind of where I have my phone tells me 10 o'clock be in bed, but usually by like 9:45, I'm in bed.
Mine says 10 o'clock. It's time to wind it down. And I'm like, no, man, I'm just getting started. That's because by the time it gets around to 9 o'clock, after everything else we got going on around the house, get cook the dinner, do the homework, do this, do that. Everybody's settled. I watch TV with the misses. We've done whatever. Now it's like, all right, I need to unwind before I can go to bed. Yeah. So it's like, all right, from 10 to midnight, I'm going to play Xbox or sketch some stuff or work on Creative South or whatever.
Yeah,
so
no, I get it.
But what I'm trying to fix it.
What do you do for fun for when it is your time and is it Xbox or what do you do?
I mean, yeah, I like playing Apex with my friends. that's fun. This is just mindless entertainment. It's just movies. You know, I like to go outside and go walk. I like to go outside with Carson when we can. Fun. I mean, I draw all the time, so that's fun. I love to cook, if you can't tell. I love to be in the kitchen. That's always a good time. Yeah, man, we're just homebodies because of where our life is right now, like the period of life we're in. So we're just home a lot.
Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%.
I like to sit by a fire and do nothing on a cold night. Just sit there. Watch the fire. I mean, I enjoy that so much. I don't know why. Yeah. It's so soothing.
It's methodical. It's like going to the beach and watching the waves. Just watching the waves crash.
All day. I love when it rains here. I'll sit them. I work from my cabin is where I'm at right now. And it's like, I don't know, 150 feet from my house, I guess. Sits in the edge of my woods. And when it rains, I have like a swinging bench. It's a bench, but it's like a rocking chair bench. And I just sit on that when it rains and just sit there and let the rain hit the tin roof. And I'm just like, I'm so peaceful. Like, it's awesome. I like that kind of stuff.
No, man, that's great. You need that. You need that when you're hustling and bustling and doing everything else, man. I definitely understand that. Can we talk a little bit about when I thought to myself, like, I thought a lot because you guys, like, obviously, like, there's a lot. Sometimes there's obviously with success, there's failure. Do you have a thought? Like, and so sometimes I think people will sometimes get in their own heads and then they basically don't want to have the failures or deal with the failures. Can we talk a little bit about those times, like when you've had those incidences and what kind of gets you through them or what you do to get yourself out of that, or at least, you know, kind of, or past it.
So if I'm in a spot where I failed, and how do I get through that? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah,
man. I mean, usually I just chalk it up to like, okay, that idea didn't work. Like, let's figure out why and let's move on to the next thing. Like, I don't really I try not to let it bother me. You know, I'm just like, I see so many people get like super stressed out in their life about every little thing. And yes, I get stressed every now and then, but it's stress I bring on myself. It's not like I try to keep that to a bare minimum as I can. So if like, okay, I failed on something and it went horribly wrong. All right. Well, it went horribly wrong. How can we either one, how can we fix it? Or two, how can we make it where it doesn't happen again? Or three, what could we try that might work in its place? And then you adapt. You just adapt. You know, I mean, there's times where you'll get I'll have an idea for Creative South and I'll be so excited about it. And then it happens and you're like, nope, that was a bad idea. And I kind of laughed to myself and go, man, okay, yeah, I see that now. Like, in hindsight, it was awful. I probably shouldn't have done that. But 9 times out of 10, I just chalk it up to like, all right, I learned something. Now I know, and here we go. Let's go to the next thing. No, man, I don't know if that answers your question or is helpful.
Yeah, it does.
But that's me personally. Like, I try not to let it bother me so bad. If I look at it like this, you're going to be dealt a bunch of crap in your life. Like, that's just part of life. Things are going to get dealt to you, and you have to you can take it one of two ways. You can let it defeat you, or you can grow from it and move forward. And I tend to like look at it as like, all right, you know, that whole adage of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, you know? And I look at it kind of like that. And it's like, all right, God's got this. I failed. I got through it. And now I'm on the other side and I'm better for it. So yeah, that's kind of how I look at things like failure.
No, man, I think that's great. With the conference coming up, you got any, for anyone who were to attend a conference like a Creative South, like in April, and obviously I believe there's tickets still available for the conference if they wanted to be able to attend it in Columbus, Georgia.
They are. Early bird goes off sale on the 15th of March. So after that, you're not guaranteed swag or, a good ticket price. It is what it is. But Yeah, those are coming up. And then what was the, I'm sorry, what was the rest of it?
No, that's perfect. That, I was going to say, what advice would you give someone like who wants to attend a conference like a Creative South and get the most out of their experience?
I could say this all day, but if you're an introvert, you got to do it your way. But like, in my opinion, if you'll just be open to conversations with everyone, you see a group of people standing there in a circle and they're talking, go up to the group, because what's going to happen is the group's going to open and you're going to be a part of it. And then you get to contribute to the conversation, but contribute to the conversation with anything you got. Don't be afraid to talk to people. Don't be afraid to ask a stranger to go eat lunch with you, because somebody's probably going to ask you to go eat lunch. If a lot of times it's groups are standing around talking and it's meal time. Hey, why don't we all go eat at such and such? And try to get in those meals. Those meals is where big connections are made. Lasting connections are made. And just enjoy every moment of it, right? Like, if there's a party, go to it. If there's a workshop, try to attend it. If there's a, you know, somebody says, hey, we're doing a meetup over here at such and such, like we're doing drink and draw in the lobby at whatever time on this day, and you don't have anything going on, go to it, because that's where you're going to meet more people. I think just being as involved as you can be the first time you go. And then after that, volunteer. A volunteer helps you get in the inside of it too.
Yeah.
Those are two things that I can think of. Yeah.
Those are all. I volunteered the first time I went to Creative South. And
we appreciate that.
And I know that I loved every minute of it. And I totally agree. Like, and for me, obviously, like, and I'll keep always saying this, like, that's like, if I tell people, like, if like I'm not even a designer and I doodle, but I'm nothing like that. But even for me, I'm like, I felt like I got something out of it. And yeah, there were moments where I maybe felt like I was kind of like, not really imposter syndrome, because I know what I am or not, but the mere fact that like everyone was so nice to be able to kind of interact with people. And to me, I think that was like the big thing was, I also made it a point that even though in my mindset was like, I want to network, I want to meet people. I want to meet other people that I could possibly work with,
and interact
with, and those people all kind of interlink with one another. And so sometimes you even if you go in with friends, you know, I always try to still go and meet other people and venture out, because you don't want to be stuck in the same little group. You want that you want to kind of grow that. That's kind of like the big thing that I took out of when I went. It was like always like I wanted to meet other people, even if I knew someone. And then a lot of times I made it a point, but that's because of how I am. If I saw someone that was by themselves, I try to incorporate them or try to bring them in, because I'm obviously more extroverted than most introverts. So therefore, I'm going to be like, hey, what are you doing? Why don't you come with us? Oh, we're going to go eat at this place. And something like that. So I definitely, I agree 100%. It really, at the end of the day, I think, and it comes with anything like this, even a conference, it's all really what you make of it.
Yep.
And what you want it to be. You can make it a crappy experience or you can make it an amazing experience.
All day.
It just depends on how open you are, and then just being able to, you know, bring that in when you do that.
I agree with you.
What advice would you give someone for wanting to start something?
Oh man. Like an event or just anything, a company, just start anything.
Anything.
For sure. Take the proper time to research what you're starting, right? If it's a business, research your competitors. If it's a conference, research your industry, research what your potential attendees could be like, research like the city you want to have it in. You got to do your homework before you start anything, right? Have all those ducks in a row, have the right people in place ahead of time. Don't start it and then go, oh nuts, I got to go get X, Y, and Z people to do X, Y, and Z. Like, if you've done the homework ahead of time, you're going to know, okay, I need these folks ahead of time that do this better than me. Start that group ahead of time, get that committee or board together or whatever you want to call it, that's going to help you get this thing rolling. And then make sure you're financially ready to put the money into it like you should. If you don't have all those things done, then just starting something is going to be a lot. I'm not saying it's impossible. You can still do it. It's just going to be a lot harder to do it.
But is there any project that you've worked on that is like, you're like, to you is like, you're like, you're kind of like, man, I can't believe I got to do this or work on this. Is like, is there anything that you kind of like you're just like, man, this is like when I was a kid, I used to think I could do this, or
I haven't gotten to one of those kid moments where it's like, cool, I got to design G.I. Joe, or, you know, something that I, as a kid, would have been like enamored with. But like recently,
yeah,
career wise, I got to rebrand Lamar with some buddies, and that was just, that 120 year old company, you know, trying to take them from A to B, and being able to explain to them after an audit, like why that this should happen, was just a lot of fun. A great group of people to work with, open-minded to like good design suggestions, and had an amazing team that I worked with to get it done. And it was just a lot of fun, you know? And I look back and I'm like, wow, that was a good time. And then now it's like just working internal Heyo stuff has been a lot of fun, because it's like, oh, cool, I can kind of make brand how I want to make brand. Like I can design merch how I want to design merch. And everybody kind of has a say in what's going on with that. And this would be one of those. Like getting on Clink Room was a big deal to me. Like that's a lot of great talent that a lot of us don't even realize is out there, because a lot of the people who are submitting art on this particular website are hobbyists, but their art is professional level art, but they don't do that. For like this one guy I follow, I can't think of his handle right in the second. His name's Phil. I think it's Phil. He works as like an oil rig. Like he works on an oil rig during a day. Like his day job. He like flies out to an oil rig, works on an oil rig, comes home, and he makes hats at night for fun. Like, I don't know if that's his whole story, but like he's a hobbyist. But his work, the level of this guy's work is crazy professional level work. But he doesn't do it for a living, which is just like, okay, like I've never, like, it's new to me to hear that, because a lot of these people are hobbyists. But I loved getting on the Clink Room. It was an honor to be chosen for that and to have my work sold and, you know, be able to wear it on a hat, which, I mean, I collect hats. So when you come into my office, or my studio at home, there's hat, like I've got so many hats, I don't know what to do with them. But I'm always looking for more. So it's a fun thing for me. I like to be able to wear a different
hat. If you do get a hat, you want it to be big, a big hat.
Especially a snapback. Especially a snapback. Cause I got a giant melon, and regular snapbacks are like a 2, maybe a 3, depending on how big it is. But if you can get one of the clothes, like Mammoth Headwear, I'm gonna plug them, because their hats run enormous. What's that?
I think of you when I see those.
I appreciate that. But what's crazy is my hat size is a very wanted hat size. Like a lot of, like usually 7 3/4 sells out. It's one of the first hat sizes to go. So I'm not the only one with a giant noggin. Yeah. There's a lot of other people out there, but like, regular snapback, and I don't think I have one on my desk. All my stuff on my desk is flat bill right in a second. But a regular snapback, unless you get an extra large version, you're going to have trouble with that. You're only going to get like 2, maybe 3 on the back. And that's annoying. Yeah. So I love League Legacy, another brand I'll plug. I love League Legacy. Their old favorite, the trucker hat, is probably the best trucker hat, in my opinion, on the planet, especially when they're already pre-washed and look old. They have an extra large version of certain, only 2 or 3 colors. But if you're making your own patch hat or whatever, you just a one-off, like I do a lot of times, I'll get a patch from like Lincoln and I'll put it on a League Legacy as a one-off. I'll try to get one of those extra large versions, cause it does snap 4 or 5 across and still fits perfectly. Check that out if you haven't. That's a great hat. Yeah. Uh-huh. Great hat.
I'll check them out.
Like one of your Deli Fresh patches on a League Legacy trucker. Bro, forget about it.
Okay.
It's a good hat.
Well, I will definitely check it out. Give me the plug. Give me the elevator pitch plug for someone who's kind of intrigued now about Creative South, wants to come in and is interested, give a plug about that and follow up then with how they can follow you online.
Sure thing. So Creative South is April the 11th through the 13th. Love to see all y'all show up, hang out, and become part of the family. Tickets are on sale, but they're selling out pretty fast. So get them while you can. Price goes up on the 15th significantly because of the time frame. And there are plenty of workshops left for sale also. Love to see you guys at the bridge party. Love to see y'all at the event and having a good time. And check it out at creativesouth.com. And follow all our socials, which is creativesouthga.com or creativesouthga on all the socials. And then if you need to find me on social media, it's at bucket826. Super easy. It's pretty much all my socials across the board, except for LinkedIn, I think, is my name with 826 behind it.
Is 826
I'm easy to find.
Is that your birthday?
That is my oldest son's birthday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then where's the bucket come from? Is that just a nickname you've had?
It's a nickname I got. I used to work. I was the only designer at this one small company like years and years and years ago. And the company only had about 35 people in it. And so the owner took all the all the ladies in the company went on a trip with the wife, and all the guys went on a trip with the husband who owned the company. And he flew us down to Destin from Columbus to go fishing on his boat. And we ended up at this restaurant on the pier, and it was called Poppy's on the Pier down in Destin. I don't know if it's still there or not, but they had this thing. It was like, get whatever you want. Like they were covering the meal. It was like, order whatever you want. So I love seafood. I love it. I can't eat as much of it now, but I used to eat a ton of it. And they had this big, like, you know, one of those bowls you see in a kitchen where you're like, they dump the wings in it to flip the sauce.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I'm talking about. Yeah. Big. Yeah. I'm tall. I can't even do it on the screen.
Yeah, it's those big
giant metal bowls. So it was a metal bowl that was about, it was one of those wing toss bowls. It was this deep. It had two whole lobsters, two whole crabs, shellfish, oysters, crawfish, like shrimp, sausage, potatoes, onions. It was a loaded bowl. I mean, I'm talking about stacked. And I ate the whole thing by myself. And they just started calling me Bucket because it was a seafood bucket for two, and I ate it by myself. So I think it was more of like a seafood bucket for three, but it was so good, dude, so good. So that's it, just stuck, and then people just started calling me Bucket, and then I just ran with it.
I love it.
So
I never knew that.
That's the story behind that, man. Yeah,
I love that, man. I love that.
So now let's ask you some questions.
Sure, go ahead.
Two questions,
please.
One, when are we going to collaborate on a hat? Dude. Two, I know you can throw that back on me anytime you want.
Give me like that's like
I know, I already know.
I want it. Trust me, I want it. I will make it as bigger. I'll figure out if we want to do a fitted hat. I'll make it fitted. If you're making it, I will make sure that it looks. We will make it happen. But yes, I would. Cool. I'd love that. Yes, but
let's set a date on that. Like, let's say before the end of the year.
Okay,
we're gonna collaborate on a Deli Fresh hat.
I love it.
Dope. And then, what is your favorite sandwich?
My favorite sandwich
of all time. This is the sandwich that maybe it's not your go-to, but it's like, man, that is the sandwich of sandwiches.
So it's tough. So it's funny because people lately, when they ask me this, the first thing they'll say to me is like, oh, are you going to use the sandwich? Because I have a sandwich on a menu in a restaurant in Orlando.
I do too. Well, yeah. Let's talk about that next real quick.
So obviously like that one is something that I make, but that's like it's an orange chicken sandwich with like pickled veggies, and it's sure. Delicious. But my go-to always is, and a lot of it just kind of depends on where you are, like where I am. So like, I'll never say no to a chicken parm sub. Like, I don't think I'll ever say no to a chicken parm. Like, I love a good, I love that. I also will never say no to a chicken biscuit.
Preach.
I like chicken biscuit to me is like, that is like, I want to do a Georgia inspired t-shirt. That is the like some kind of like team called the Chicken Biscuits or a chicken biscuit related because that's like that to me, that's like to me, that's one of my favorite things to have if for breakfast. So, I mean, I will say you probably will be something chicken based, I guess, because I have since okay. I probably some version of a chicken sandwich, I guess, is probably one of them. But then like when I think about like kid meal, like kid memories, I think of like my mom making me like a meat, my mom and dad making me like a meatloaf sandwich with like the leftovers.
Meatloaf sandwich, let's go.
Like that's like, you can't go wrong.
Five outside, yeah, come on.
You can't go wrong with
that's
that.
That's a good sandwich, dude.
Like that's a classic good one. I mean, but I also remember as a kid, I used to like go, my parents worked all the time. So in the summers, I would have to go to like this like aftercare type place. And yeah. sometimes they would make they would make lunch and they didn't know what to make us. So, and you can't really make sandwiches all the time. So they would actually sometimes make just spaghetti. But then what they would do is they would grab, they didn't have, you know, expensive garlic bread. So you're using white bread with like garlic and butter on it, but it would be toast. Yes. And I would literally make it into like little sandwiches. So I would like put yes. the spaghetti on it. Like those are some of the things that I like to me, like, I don't know.
Awesome,
I mean,
dude.
Like those are the type of foods. What about you? Do you have one like that you kind of?
So I'm kind of like you. I have one at a restaurant down the street called The Bucket.
What is
and
it?
It's at a barbecue place, and it's a pulled pork sandwich that has it's got like slaw, onion rings, fries, hot links, and like brisket on like the whole, like it's like a bucket of all the stuff he makes, yeah, yeah. like on one sandwich. It's a heart attack is what it
what's
is.
What's the bread on that? Is that Texas toast or is it a bun?
A sourdough bun. Like how it's long, insane.
How long has this been on a menu? Cause
it's got jalapenos on it too.
Okay. When did this happen?
Oh, years ago. So I'll try to find a picture of it.
Wait, but it's not available anymore anywhere else? Like, I couldn't, like...
They're only open on Saturdays from 11 to 3. So you want the sandwich when you get here?
Well, yeah. Like, that's the thing I was trying to figure out. I was like, how is it? I've known you all this year.
I will send you a picture of it and try to get you one. And then, as far as, like, sandwiches that I think are fantastic, like, you're going to roll your eyes at this, but I love... Jersey Mike's number 13 is fantastic, classic sub.
What's the 13?
For like this, huh?
What is the 13? What's in it?
Number 13 is the Italian. It's like Italian meats. Yeah. And then, but I love the sweet peppers from Blimpie's. Like,
okay.
I would put the sweet peppers from Blimpie's on any sandwich. That's fantastic. And then I like I think one of my favorite sandwiches on the planet is post Thanksgiving, turkey dressing, cranberry sauce, little mayonnaise, little mustard, toasted white bread, or whatever you got, you know, rolls, whatever you got.
If I make
that sandwich is my go to sandwich every day after Thanksgiving. Like I think if you have a sandwich shop, you need to have that on your menu somewhere year round. Period.
And it's funny because I think dressing sandwich. When you came to visit and we had lunch, we ate lunch in Orlando. We went to Pom Pom's, and that's one of the sandwiches you had.
It was so good.
And I do make I do that, and I call them little pilgrims because I do it like
because
we do them with like the dinner rolls, and so I use that for dinner rolls. But I'm gonna give you. I know I'm the sandwich guy, but I'm gonna give you something. This year, when Thanksgiving comes and you have leftovers, I want you to call me, and I'm gonna give you my recipe because I have something that. And this is going to, I know it's going to be blasphemous because I'm the sandwich guy, but I make a Thanksgiving egg roll.
Done. You ain't going to tell me the rest of it. I'm in.
It's so bad. It's so flipping good. It's so flipping good that we'll make bigger turkeys so that we have, like, I already know that I'm always going to have a Thanksgiving sandwich, but we actually, because what we'll do is, I'll buy a bigger turkey so that I have enough leftovers. And if I don't, I'll buy a rotisserie chicken in order to have add it to the stuff. And then we literally will just fry up a huge batch of Thanksgiving egg rolls and watch college football. And that's what we eat for college football.
Make a cranberry dipping sauce?
Yes, because my wife my wife makes homemade cranberry sauce.
So I'm so hungry.
That's the dip. So
that's how it should be. I'm in. All right. Well, we're talking about Thanksgiving and we're getting off track. But
yeah,
Are you stuffing or dressing?
Well, my wife makes stuffing, so she makes the stuffing. So she makes it with sausage and all that.
Oh,
and
y'all live in the northern state of the South. Yeah, I forgot about that.
So we do. So we do more of like the stuffing with like sausage and the celery and all that. Yeah.
Well, let me just say, dressing is where it's at. Period. No arguments. Moving on.
I love it. And yes, I will hold you to it. To kind of do something, because I love all your art. I love what you do. And that's something that's like always been one of my bucket lists of things that I've wanted to do.
I love your brand.
Is to do something with you. Some form of, and a hat would be amazing, especially since you love hats so much. And so do I.
100% I'm in, man. We're going to make that happen before the end of the year. Okay. And I got one last question. Please. Or not question. One, I love a classic tuna sandwich from home. Like,
yes.
What? This is the last thing.
No.
How do you make your tuna fish? Oh. What's in your tuna salad?
That's a good question. So there's definitely, so obviously we have to do like the salt, pepper, pepper, you know, garlic. I add a little bit of relish.
Okay.
I'll add some relish to it because I like a little sweet to it. Sure. Sometimes I'll add celery if I have celery, but like if I'm making it quick, it's not usually like that. I'll do obviously mayo, a little bit of spicy mustard. I'll put like a smidge of spicy just because it's a little too tangy sometimes. But and that's kind of how I'll kind of do it as like a quick. If I get crazy, I'll put a hard boiled egg in it. Yeah, I'll do that because I do like a southern style anything like potato baked
potato salad. Recipe to blow your face off.
Oh really?
I will send it to you.
What about you? What's your tuna sandwich?
So, tuna fish, salt, lemon pepper.
Okay.
Lemon juice, Worcestershire.
Okay.
Mayonnaise only Duke's brand.
With the twang.
And a little bit of Dijon and sweet salad cubes.
Salad cubes? What's that?
Sweet salad cubes. It's like the little sweet salad pickles. They're sweet.
Yeah.
It might be relish to you, but it's not like relish. Could have other things in it. This is like, it has a little bit of like pieces of pimento in it maybe or some kind of red pepper. But then there's sweet salad cubes. I don't know how that's what they're called.
Yeah,
I put that in there, and that's how I've eaten it for my whole life.
And when you eat, and then toasted bread or soft bread, soft white bread, or how do you usually do it?
White bread. It can be toasted or untoasted. Depends on what kind of mood I have. But if it's untoasted, I like to take like dill potato chips or barbecue potato chips or some kind of potato chips on top of that, and I want that crunch. Yeah, so
you need that crunch factor.
If you don't get that crunch on that sandwich makes it all day good, all day.
It's funny that you say this, and I know we can talk about this forever. I just watched the video. I just watched the video of a guy of a place in New York that's what they do. They chop up everything, and that was one of the things the guy ordered. I'm gonna send it to you.
Because
it was like a tuna sandwich, and then what he did was they take anything from the shop, you basically throw it over the counter and they'll grab it and chop it into the sandwich. So he did vinegar. He did like salt and vinegar chips.
Oh, vinegar is real good.
Yeah. And I was like, man, I'm like that. Like you need that crunch factor. That's the reason why I asked how you like it, because there's too much. That'd be too much mush. Even with the soft bread,
it doesn't need to be straight mush.
Yeah. You need you need something
flavor. Lay's just came out with a new chip flavor. It's sweet and spicy honey.
Oh.
And that on the tuna sandwich, next level. It was like, I want two of these. This is so good. So okay. I'm with you.
I love it.
We can talk food all day.
No, for sure. For sure. Mike, I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. I've loved our friendship. I love everything that you do, man. You really do. I love the community and the whole concept of what you're trying to do. And I'm just, I'm super, proud and happy to be part of like this, of the Creative South family and being part of it. So I definitely appreciate it. That's why I wanted to have you on. I kind of figure if I can get some other people to at least have it in their minds to even hear about it, know about it, be inspired by it, maybe even go and check it out. I definitely think it's something it's something that I love. And like I said, if I can go every single time, I would. But I definitely, I try to make it so I can go because it definitely re-energizes me. Like I walk out of there, like my wife always says to me, like in the beginning of January, February, I'm kind of like down on my like energy levels down. And then I go to Creative South and it's like a rocket ship, like fueled. You know, so I definitely appreciate it. So yeah,
man, thank you so much for having me. And it's always good to hear you and talk to you and chat food and life and everything else. And look, we've got this set before the end of the year. Collaboration's happening. Right. So let's get offline soon and chat some more and figure that date out. But thank you again for having me. Everybody, I look forward to seeing you at Creative South. Yeah. If you need me for anything, holler at me. I'm available and have a good one, man.
Perfect, man. Well, that's our show for today. Thank you so much to Mike Jones of Creative South for being on and having lunch with me. Definitely make sure to check it out online. Definitely give him a follow, see all the speakers. I think it's a great way, even if you don't go to the event, to be able to start interacting with other people that make you hopefully inspire you to go next year. If you enjoyed the show, definitely make sure to subscribe. If you want to check out and support me, check out my brand, Deli Fresh Threads.
Let's go.
And obviously tell your friends if you're eating a sandwich, obviously I think Mike wants to see a picture of it as well. So take a selfie and tag us.
Yes,
thank you. Until next time, keep eating sandwiches and follow your passion. Thanks everyone.
See you guys.